brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life in the Lord, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, but neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Ask now, Lord, that you meet with us. Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray we're aware of your presence here today. And Lord, do you know every man's need? Lord, I pray for those that may be here not sure about their salvation. Lord, we pray today will be the day they see that need. Call on your name for their salvation. And Lord, for those that have been saved, Lord, those of us that have trusted you, Lord, I pray you just speak to our hearts, cause us to draw closer to yourself. Lord, that we thank you so much for loving us, Lord, going to the cross and dying for us that we could have eternal life. And so now, Lord, we put this service into your hands. You have your will and way of what's going to be done today. And we give you the praise and glory for it in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Tempted and Tried. I think that song Farther Along, it uses that phrase in a verse. And there's two thoughts that I see there in the text a couple of times. But in verse 2, you see temptations. And then in verse 3, we see the word trying or trial or tried being tried. So two things I want to think about is temptations and trials. Now, trials are often sent by God, usually external. They're designed to mature us. They do many things, but to mature us, help us develop patience, of course, increase our faith. God, I told our Sunday school class this morning, you know, God can multitask. He can get many things accomplished at one time. And then temptations, on the other hand, they're often sent by Satan, internal, encouraged by our own fallen nature. They're designed to lead us into sin, ruin our testimony, render us powerless, cause confusion. We see in verse 8 that phrase, double-minded or double-minded man, one of the things that Satan would like us to do, to be confused about things. But there's a connection, and James has a connection between the two, between temptations and trials or being tried, and there has to be a reason for that. And I think this is one of the reasons, because if we're not careful, the testings on the outside may become the temptations on the inside. Our testings on the outside may be temptations on the inside. And we talked about this a lot in our Sunday school class. I didn't plan that, but it worked out that way. But when our circumstances in life are difficult, we may find ourselves complaining against God. The Israelites were a perfect example of this. Every time things seemed to be going not the way they had planned. And I think this a lot of times in life, whether a person's in God's will or knows God at all. But in life, a lot of times we have a preconceived idea of how we think everything ought to go. You know, this ought to happen, that ought to happen, this. And if it gets out of order in any way, shape or form, then we think, well, you know, it's going south. And we start to get frustrated, maybe worry, maybe complain. And, you know, of course, the Israelites did over and over and over again, complained. They questioned God, questioned God's love. And then you end up finding out that you're going to resist God's will because you struggle in that area right there. So, you know, our trials that we go through in life, God allows trials to come in our life. So that he can increase our faith. You know, you never grow closer to God. Usually in prosperity, it's usually in a trial in life. God allows that to mature us, to cause us to grow, to increase our faith. He does it because He loves us. He does it because He cares. He wants us to draw closer to Himself. And then, if we're not careful, though, when those trials come, that Satan will come because of our fallen nature. He can use our fallen nature against us. Satan will come and cause us to turn the trial that God intended for good to turn into an evil thing and cause us to complain against God, complain against other people that God has in our life. So we'll look at that. This whole thought here this morning. Now, 3 points. Number one, Satan's opportunity. The second one is God's provision. And then the third one is man's reward. The first thing we'll see is Satan's opportunity. You always have to understand this as you go through your Christian life. If you're saved, you have to understand this, that Satan opposes everything that God is doing. Everything that God is doing. If God's going this way, Satan's against it. If God's going that way, Satan's against it. He's got the church, Satan's against it. Listen, if you're saved, Satan's against it. If you're trying to live a Christian life, Satan's against that. So you're going to have opposition. There's no doubt about it. And so we see the fact that God wants to mature us. He wants to send a trial to us to cause us to grow and mature and put our faith in Him. He wants trust out of us. And so Satan sees that, and guess what? Satan opposes you maturing and growing and increasing your faith and all that. So he takes that same thing that God is using, and he tries to do the opposite with that. And he's successful with that a lot of times too. He sees those trials as an opportunity to draw us away from God. I'll give you a lot of biblical examples here. Abraham, remember Abraham, and God said, listen, Abraham, once you get up, I want you to leave your family, I'm going to take you to a land I haven't shown. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I'm going to lead you there. And he led him on down into Canaan back in those days. He led him down into Canaan, and this was the promised land. So he's in God's will. See it this way. You're in God's will. God's leading you a certain way. You're going along that way. I told our Sunday school class this morning, you know, you'd be surprised at what little bump in the road that the devil has to throw up there to throw most Christians off track or to get somebody discouraged or get you going. You just put a toothpick in the way and somebody, because you got to step over a toothpick, you'll say, well, the way's too hard. He sends Abraham down there. He led him down there. Okay, well, when he got there, what happened? There was a drought, usually associated with a famine. There was a famine and a drought. Did God lead him to that place where there was a famine and a drought? Yeah. But what happened to Abraham was he said, you know how we always do, what do? Take matters into your own hands. He said, I'm going to go down into Egypt. If God had wanted Abraham to go down into Egypt, God would have led him down into Egypt to start with. But he said, I'm going down into Egypt. So he goes down into Egypt. Guess what happens when he's down there in Egypt? He's out of God's will. He's away from God. He's out of God's will. He never prayed. There's no recording in the Bible when he was down there that he ever prayed. He never built an altar. He never worshiped God. As a matter of fact, when he got around the king of Egypt there, he lied about who his wife was. He started telling lies. You see how he got into sin. He got away from... So God had a blessing. God had this blessing. He says, I'm leading you to a new place, a new land. I'm leading you to the place of blessing. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a little trial when you get there. He gets down there, sees a famine, takes matters into his own hands. So the blessing, the trial in his life, that famine, don't you think God would have got Abraham through that famine? Don't you? It's a baby, folks. It's a baby. Everybody's seen a baby, right? Y'all all right? It's a baby. Don't you know that God would have got Abraham through a famine right there in the land of Canaan? Did God lead Abraham down there to cause him to die in the wilderness? Nah, he would have got him through that. And so what happened? But Abraham got worried, started sweating a load, goes on down into Egypt, gets out of God's will, falls into sin. It happens every single time. Satan took this opportunity, this blessing, this trial that God sent to Abraham. Said over there, every good thing comes from God. That's right. That's right. Every good thing comes, every good and perfect thing comes from God. Are you thinking that a trial is not a good and perfect thing? Is an affliction a good and perfect thing? Huh? No, it is. It is. You may not see it as such, but it is. If it come from God, it come from God. It's a good and perfect thing. So here was that, what God had given. Satan says, I'm going to go ahead and use it as an opportunity. God got Abraham completely out of God's will. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? So it was an opportunity for him. You know, God had to chasten Abraham, and then Abraham returned to Canaan. And when you find out, when you study, you ever study that story right there? The first thing Abraham did when he got back in the land of Canaan, guess what? Built an altar, worshiped God. Got back in God's will. Amen? Israel was led by Moses out of Egypt. We're studying that in our Sunday school class and on this over here. But it wasn't long. Trials came along. Wasn't any water. When they finally did find some water, the water was bitter. Guess what? They started complaining. Started fussing, feuding, blaming God, blaming Moses. Everything fell apart right there. Satan tempted them to complain. And God had just taken them out of being in 400 and some years of bondage in Egypt. Just took them away from that. Taking them to the promised land, the place. Don't you think God can get them to the place? Yeah, God can get them to the place. Elijah, remember old Elijah, man, just after he went up against 850 false prophets there on Mount Carmel, man, he's called down fire out of heaven. I wish I could do that. He called fire down out of heaven, man, and boom, burned up the altar and the sacrifice and burned up everything around it. And boy, he had went head to head. And then old Jezebel said, boy, about this time tomorrow, your life's going to be like one of theirs. And Elijah got discouraged. He ran off. He was, there was a trial. What happened to him? He ran off into the wilderness and said, wish he would die. So he went from the mountaintop experience down into the valley. Listen, in every case, Peter, he was going through a trial there. Jesus was being crucified. Jesus was the one that was being crucified. Some little maid just accused him. What happened? He denied Christ three times. He failed the test, didn't he? He failed right there. So Satan sees opportunities. What did he do to Peter? He didn't get his salvation. I'm going to tell you what he got. He got his testimony, though. He got his witness. He couldn't witness for you. He denied Christ. So now we can take right here, listen, put a blank on a piece of paper. Put a blank on a piece of paper and put your name in there. See, put your name in there. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're either going through a trial, getting ready to go in a trial, just coming out of one, you're going through a trial. And how do you respond in that trial? What is it from? Is it from God? Yes, sir. God either caused it or God allowed it. I mean, so it's a trial. And Satan's can use it as an opportunity to, get you off track, discourage you, take you away from God. God's trying to do one thing. Satan's trying to do the opposite. God's trying to mature you. Satan's trying to take you away from God. So those things can happen. Listen, God does not want us to yield to temptation, but neither can he spare us the experience of temptation. You have to experience those temptations. Everywhere there is a blessing, there is a possibility of a trial. Everywhere there's a blessing, there's a possibility of a trial, and there's a possibility of a temptation. Everybody has trials in life. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you're lost or saved. Sinners face the trial of the consequences of their sin. Christians face the trial of the sinners around them, and also the trial that God sends you to help you to grow. Blessings can become trials. You look at Abraham and Lot. Remember Abraham and Lot? They were out there traveling along. God blessed those two men, and their herds increased and everything. What happened? There started a contention between the herdmen of the two. There was a contention. All of a sudden, now we got a stressful point here. We got something. All of a sudden, that blessing of all the herds became a trial. They had to figure out, how to get around that. Contention developed. Job, when you look at Job, man, Job was a blessed man. The Bible said that he feared God and that he eschewed evil. He was a righteous man. But in one day, he lost it all. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. In one day, think about this, folks, 10 children in one day. That's all of them, too, by the way. It wasn't like there was some spare. He lost all 10 children in one day. Hardly any of us, and I don't know of anybody, I've known people who's gone through some bad times. I don't know of anybody that went through what Job went through in a day. Lost her health, lost her family, lost her house, lost everything. I don't know of anybody that's gone through that. There's not too many people in life that go through a trial like Job. Now, God allowed it, right? If God didn't allow it, it wouldn't have happened. God showed Satan something when he allowed that. God showed Satan. Remember, Satan said, oh, yeah, listen. And I love this point right here. Satan went before God and he said, yeah, you got a hedge around old Job. I like the fact that Satan knew that God had a hedge around Job. I mean, that's an encouraging word right there. That's an encouraging verse that Satan was aware that there was a hedge around Job and he couldn't get to him unless God took it down. And he said, that's the only reason he loves you, because you got a hedge around him and you bless him. And God said, listen, I'm going to show you something. I'll take the hedge down. You can take anything, but you can't take his life. And I'm going to tell you what, old Satan took it all too. Huh? And I'm going to tell you another thing. There's another point right there. Satan to take everything from you too, if God allow it. If God would allow it, Satan would take everything from you too. So that tells me that we got a certain hedge around us, or Satan would get it. But you know, he showed Satan something, and he showed us something too. And but the Job 1:22 says this: "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." He never sinned. And Job's wife said this. He said, "Why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you curse God and die?" Why did Job's wife say, "Why don't you curse God and die?" I'll tell you why, because she was dying on the inside. She was dying. She lost all 10 of her children. All 10 of her children. She lost her home in one day. And you know, how would you have felt if you put yourself in that woman's place or even in Job's place? Now I said, I know God allowed it. But in the end, you know, if you study the end of the story there, Job doubled. He had double what he had before, doubled it. God bless him right there. But anytime you're blessed, there's a possibility of a trial. They were blessed with 10 children. When you got 10 children, there's a possibility you could lose some of them. If you don't have any children, there's no possibility. So you get a blessing on the one hand, there's also a possibility that you could lose those children. Or if you have a lot of money, there's a possibility. Even if you don't have any money, you can't lose anything. You know, most of us know how that is. But if you have a lot, there's a possibility that you can lose it. You know, and I remember I've shared this with you before. Sylvester Stallone, not even know the actor, he said, you know, he was a homeless man one time. He said, "Man, when I was homeless," he said, "I thought if I had a lot of money, that'd cure all my problems." He said, "Now I got a lot of money and all I do is worry about losing it." You know, so it created its own set of circumstances there. And so, you know, anytime there's a blessing, there's a possibility of a trial. And in every trial, there's a possibility to be tempted to sin. You know, just think about it. You get a promotion at work. Everybody, "Boy, I got me a job. I got a promotion at work." Well, that could be a blessing, but what about if it takes you away from God? Huh? There could be a temptation. You got more money. You're tempted to do, you know, you can do more with it. Man, you're tempted to lay out of church, man. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Let's do, you know, we can forget about God when everything's going well. So there can be a possibility with that. So we see Satan's opportunity. But then also we see the second thing. We see God's provision. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I just wrote it down. I said, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, of course, our perfect example in that situation there is Jesus himself. Remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was like Abraham. Abraham was led into Canaan. Jesus was led by the Spirit. "We're being tempted, Lord. We're being tempted. we're having a trial and we're getting tempted. Willie, that baby acting like you." No. Hey, man, babies, God bless them, right? It's good to have young people in church. Just got to deal with it. That's all it is. Just a bunch of crying. They get going. Mothers actually put my tapes on of me preaching to get their babies to fall asleep, you know. I got a ministry. I sell those. But Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days. Anybody here ever fasted for 40 days? I haven't fasted for 40 days. I've fasted some. And it's a trial. It's a trial. But boy, Satan, what a tempt. Satan can tempt you. You have visions of food that you don't even like. I mean, you got visions of stuff you never get a craving for. When I fasted before, I would have visions of roast beef and mashed taters with a bunch of butter on it. I mean, I like that. But it's not a craving thing, like a cookie jar or something like that. I would have visions of that stuff. You walk by and man, just any little piece of food and the commercials on TV, every commercial's about food. Well, Jesus didn't have that, but 40 days. You can imagine 40 days in the wilderness. What did Satan come along tempt him with right off the bat? He said, "Hey, why don't you make these stones into bread?" That's a pretty good temptation. Because number one, there's no sin in bread, right? And Jesus had the power to do it. And there wasn't no sin using his power. The sin was listening to Satan, by the way. His sin would have been listening to Satan. But he said, "Why don't you make these stones into bread?" See how he... Listen. He led by the Spirit in the wilderness, and if you are led by the Spirit to fast for 40 days, I'm going to tell you what, it'll be a blessing like you won't believe with that experience with God if you do it the right way, is what I'm saying. And there was Jesus there, but he appears, he tempts him, he tests him with that. And then he tempted him with this. See, Jesus had a bigger trial than 40-day fast ahead of him. The cross ahead of him. This was a trial. Amen. You know what Satan said? Listen, he said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. You bow down and worship me, I'll give them all to you. In other words, what he's saying is, don't go to the cross. I can show you how to bypass this trial in your life and get what you're going to get anyway. You know, see, and this is how Satan gets to us. See, he says, listen, get out of the trial. Abraham, go on down into Egypt, man. They're not having a famine down in Egypt. Go down there, even though that's not God, where God wanted you to go. Jesus, go ahead and make them stones into bread. 40-day fast is long enough. And it is. That's about all a human being can do. Go down there and make those stones, you know, go ahead and get over. Go ahead and do this, do that, do this. Get out of the trial. Now, God's got you in a trial. What he's trying to do? Mature you, grow you, cause your faith to grow, show you his love. Satan says, get out of that. Get out of it. He tempts you every time. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that. So he wanted him to bypass that trial. Make it easy. Really, that's what, you know, that I think that's a lot of what Christians' problem today is we want everything easy. Man, I'd like a closer walk with God. Hit that easy button. Boom. I don't want to have to read my Bible or pray to do it. But I would like to be more spiritual. I would like to have a close relationship with God, but I don't want to have to go to church. I mean, I don't want to have to pray. I don't want to have to read my Bible. I don't want to sacrifice my time. You know, it's a sacrifice, right? And Satan said, don't do it. It'll be all right. You can do it. You can have a good relationship with God. You don't do any of that. He's lying. You know, bypass all this stuff. You know, he doesn't want us to mature. He doesn't want us to receive a crown. It spoke about that down there. He doesn't want us to develop patience. Those words are in the text this morning. They're the things that Jesus Christ has for us. You know how Jesus answered him? Get in the Word of God. Thus it is written. It is written. It is written. He gave him the Word of God. How come he gave him the Word of God? He knew the Word of God. Because he was the Word of God. He was the Word, right? Listen, our way of escape is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you get through any trial. That's how you get through any temptation. What happens when you start getting tempted? To the Word of God. Huh? That's how you got to have it. If you ever do fast, you're going to have these moments where you're strong, man. Oh, I'm good, man. I'm not going to eat nothing. I'm good. And then there's 5 seconds later, man. So what do you do when that happens? When those waves of the temptation to break you fast come, which is just a picture of sin. It just teaches you how to deal with sin. Say no to sin. What's doing? What do you do when you got to say no to sin? Get in the Word. Pray. If you can't get in the Word where you're at, pray. That's the excuse for the temptation. The answer for the temptation is Jesus Christ. In every single case in our life. That's a good amen point right there if you didn't catch that. Is there any way that we can just not have trouble? No trials. Is there any way we can just not have trials? Well, I got 4 ways for you. The first way is don't get born. The first way not to have no trouble in life is in the Bible, Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So if you don't want to have trouble, don't get born. Got bad news for everybody sitting in here this morning? You already been born, so that one's now off the charts. The second way is don't get born again. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. So if you don't want to have any tribulation, no trial in your life, just don't get born again. Here's a good one. Don't get married. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 7:28 says, "But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you." You know why you don't have no perfect marriages? There's no two perfect people to get married. I mean, usually there's just one of us. Usually there's just one, and the problem arises when the other one thinks that they're the perfect one. That's when you have a problem right there, right? Amen. No, there's no two perfect people. So don't get born. Don't get born again. Don't get married. And the last one, don't get old. Don't get old. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." That's talking about those old evil days when you get up in the morning and everything, you don't know what's hurting. You got to take so many pills. You got one in boxes that's got days of the week on it because your memory's done went south. And then you got to pile all the pills in each one. And then you get to the point where you got to have two of them because one box won't hold the pills. And you got to go down through there. And I'm telling you, man, it's getting that way. I get up every day and say, later in the day, did I take my vitamin today? I'm just taking vitamin. I said, did I take my vitamin? I can't even remember if I got to take my one vitamin. Didn't take it. "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." That's because when you get up, huh? You're looking for your teeth, you're looking for your hair, you're looking for your cane, you're looking for your walker, you know. Those evil days get old. That's trouble. My dad always said, you know, you got to be tough to get old. He said, you got to be tough, man. You got to be tough because everything's hurting. So, you know, it's a trial. It's a tribulation there. So basically what all those verses are telling us is there's no way. Verses other than the first one, don't get born too late. Trials are going to come. Trials will be a blessing when we take the right trail through the trial. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God provides, right? God provides. Learn to trust God when we don't understand. Look at Christ and not the circumstances. The right trail is the trail that has a testimony. It's a trail of God's forgiveness, a trail of God's sustenance, a trail of God's grace, a trail of God's love. And it's going to be seen by all the people, that testimony right there. You know, forgiveness requires suffering. Forgiveness requires suffering. In every case, that's a trial. It's a trial. You got to swallow your pride. You got to forgive. I mean, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer because, you know, the only time you have to forgive anybody is when you think somebody did wrong. Right? It's you know, you suffer. Jesus suffered and he won the world. The last point is this man's reward. Look in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Count it all joy. It's kind of odd that the word temptation, trial, and joy are all strung together right there. But see, trials are not easy, but trials are profitable. Can be profitable and will be if we keep looking our eyes on Jesus. Trials are meant to be a blessing. That every good gift, every perfect gift come from above. 1 Peter 1:6 says this, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." I asked my Sunday school class this morning, when we were talking about this, when you get in the middle of a trial in your life, you're going through a trial or tribulation, whatever you want to call it, in your life, can you look around and say, okay, what am I supposed to be seeing here? What am I supposed to be learning? God allowed it, God calls it, right? So what am I supposed to learn? There's something here good for me. You know, in there. You got to do that. You got to learn how to do that. He said here, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, you know, David, he wrote in Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept that word. You know what he said? You know what he's saying there? He said, you know, before I went through a trial, before I had afflictions, I just went astray. In other words, when everything was going well, I just went astray. Human nature. You know, I got into trouble. I got into sin. He said, but when afflictions came, the trial, you know, and you can look at it as some people may disagree that God would use it as a chastening. I believe he does. Somebody disagreed with me this morning on that point, that God doesn't use affliction and trials. I said, well, you know, the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of the sin of disobedience or trust. And didn't go into the promised land when they could have went there. So they were afflicted 40 years before they went into the promised land, right? God used that affliction, though, to bring them to learn how to trust him. God used it. David said that. He said, listen, before I was afflicted, man, he goes, I got into trouble. Because when God, I was afflicted, or was allowed to be afflicted, however you want to look at it. And he said, now I keep thy word. David's trials taught him to trust God. Man has a reward. There's a reward for our trials and trust in God and all those things. And I want you to don't lose the thought here that we look at trials as a negative thing, as a bad thing. But God said, you know, it's a perfect gift. It comes from above. It's going to do something for you, you know. And in there it said joy. It produces joy, patience, faith, forgiveness, love, grace, peace, maturity. And verse 12 says also a crown of life. Man, this is a reward. This is a reward for this. I'm going to say this in closing. As far as trials in your life go, we can't improve, correct, speed up our trials. Nor should we want to. Jesus Christ knows what's best. You know, he knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need. Trials for the lost are designed to cause you to realize that you need Jesus Christ. It's to get you to turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I said earlier, you know what? You're either in a trial, coming out of one, or getting ready to go in one. That's just about the way life's been most of the time. There may be a little bit of downtime, but there's always some trials and some circumstances in life. And they have different purposes. And like I say, for the saved, they're to mature us. For the lost, they get us to see, those that are lost, to get them to see that they need to trust Jesus Christ. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.